The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2017 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2017. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:1-5. Why is Jesus called the Word? He is the communication of God to humanity. Jesus revealed to the world the Word of God. Jesus is the personification of the written and spoken Word. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself through the prophets. And in the New Testament, the Word of God was revealed in a person, God the Son. Therefore, today, when we speak about words, specifically about reading words, I'd like us all to keep in mind the gravity of our topic. Words have power. God used words to speak the entire world into existence. The words we use can either build up relationships or destroy them. The words we read can physically alter our thinking patterns. The words we use can have an eternal impact. We, as reading teachers, have the great honor and responsibility to teach our students how to decipher the written code, how to read words for the greater purpose of ultimately helping them to get to know the Word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is quite humbling to be in the position of teaching a little child how to read. Lord, our desire is first and foremost to help our students to be good readers so they may come to read your word, and in so doing that they might come to know you and love you. Please, Lord, help us as teachers to know how to teach our students to read well, and may we honor you with this great privilege and responsibility. It's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to a kindergarten through second grade workshop on teaching reading effectively. My name is Brooke Velp, and I've been a classroom teacher for 18 years. I've taught at Rockbridge Academy for 11 of those years, and this past year I served as the grammar school vice principal. But I've also been in the public school system. I've taught there for 7 years and homeschooled my daughter as well. I've been married to my husband, Bill, for 25 years, and we have two beautiful children, but I'm not biased at all. My daughter, Corinne, is a Rockbridge Academy graduate. She's also a Liberty University graduate and recently married. And my son, Jacob, will be entering his senior year at Rockbridge Academy. But I want to tell you how thankful I am to God for bringing us to Rockbridge Academy, where my children have received and are receiving an excellent classical education taught from a distinctly Christian worldview. So let's get started. Let me tell you, if you ask a new parent if they think their child will be able to learn to walk, they will wholeheartedly say, yes, of course my child will learn to walk. But if you ask a new parent if they think their child will learn to read, oftentimes, a look of concern comes across their face. I believe this uncertainty is due in part to the massive changes we have seen in reading curriculums and programs over the last 50 years. The public school system in which I taught was in a continuous state of flux with regards to their reading program, with publishers continuously trying to sell them the latest and greatest reading programs. Things were always changing. Teachers spent precious time trying to learn the new terminologies and the new systems to teach children to learn to read. And what I didn't know, because I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't hold a biblical worldview, is that God is a God of order. Successful reading programs need order and structure, a back-to-the-basics approach. The reading program does not need constant change, it simply needs to be constant. Now, phonics is essential, but new systems and new terminologies are not needed. Of course, teachers can and should continuously strive to make the curriculum better. Teachers should be asking themselves the following questions with regards to their lesson plans. Number one, is the biblical worldview clearly revealed? Number two, are classical methodologies being utilized, capitalizing on the grammar school students' God-given abilities for observation and memorization? Number three, does the lesson plan incorporate all of the seven laws? If you haven't heard of this book, John Milton Gregory's The Seven Laws of Teaching, I would encourage you, do not step into the classroom in the fall until you've read this book. And we'll be talking about this throughout the whole presentation today. And the last thing I would encourage you to do is, with regards to your lesson plans, is make sure all the students are actively engaged and working hard for the maximum amount of time throughout the lesson. But today it is my hope to present to you an orderly and systematic program of phonics instruction and reading comprehension for kindergarten through second grade. I hope you leave today with a picture of a typical day in a kindergarten first and second grade reading class. I'm also hoping to leave you with some practical hands-on knowledge and tools to implement in your classroom that will help your students learn to read and love to read. Now, since it is essential that reading is taught systematically, there should be objectives of skills for reading. Rockbridge Academy saw this need and has constructed a scope and sequence of reading skills for each grade level. And the scope and sequence ensures that all the reading skills will be instructed and at the appropriate grade level. The scope and sequence objectives all fall under particular categories. And I want you to think of these categories today as branches of a big tree. And under these branches are where all these objectives will hang. And so the branches are the 10 essential elements for an effective reading program. We have letter recognition and phonics. You can see that's a big K-2 objective there. Those branches are covered in kindergarten through second grade. We have structural analysis, which is breaking apart words, looking at prefixes, suffixes, compound words, capitalization and punctuation skills, vocabulary skills. Structural elements would be your predicate, your subject, looking at a sentence as a whole and your parts of speech. Comprehension, oral reading, literary types and forms would be your poetry, historical fiction, and study skills. All right, so we'll talk about all of these as we go along today. I know this list may look a little bit overwhelming to you, but you should be provided, your administrator should provide you with a scope and sequence and with particular reading objectives. If you don't have a document like this, please come see me at the Rockbridge Academy booth, and I'm happy to share and show you our document. All right? But each year, the program should systematically include a review from the previous year's skills and an introduction to the next skill, each skill building upon the next. So now we're going to take a look at the implementation of these 10 foundations in kindergarten, first, and second grade. But before we do, I want to take a quick glance back at what should be developing in your students before they hit kindergarten. And that is something called phonemic awareness. When students enter kindergarten, they have been listening to sounds and acquiring language for about 5 years. And the average 5-year-old knows somewhere between 2 and 5,000 words. And at this stage in their life, they've begun to develop what's called phonemic awareness. Phonemic awareness deals with the sounds in spoken words. It's hearing and identifying and manipulating phonemes. A phoneme is the smallest unit of sound. For example, p is a phoneme. sh is a phoneme. It's the smallest unit of sound. Students entering kindergarten should have a good deal of phonemic awareness and be ready to enter the next stage of learning, which is called phonics. And phonics is recognizing the relationship between sounds and letters or groups of letters. But if you have students that are really struggling when they come into kindergarten, there are oral phonemic awareness activities that you can have parents do at home to prepare them for phonics instruction. Phonemic awareness activities are purely oral in nature. Let me give you a couple. Try to figure out what word I'm saying now. Ready? Hip, po, pot, mus. Excellent. I'm going to break up a word in a different way now. Ready? Wuh. Indo. Excellent. So they're all purely oral. Books like Moo Ba La 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 and Chicka Chicka Boom Boom are excellent as well. All right. You've probably heard little boys and they're driving their cars, right? They're going beep, beep. They're developing phonemic awareness activities. Don't discourage them from making all those funny noises. Those are wonderful. Okay. All right. So those are phonemic awareness activities. I encourage you, look them up online, and you can find some of those. So once they enter kindergarten, they should really have those phonemic awareness skills built up, and they're ready to enter the next stage, which is phonics. The kindergarten teacher begins by giving the students a name for each letter, the ABCs. They should learn to recognize the written letter A with the name A, recognizing the names of all 26 capital and lowercase letters. And at the same time, students begin to match the letter with their corresponding sounds. Now, let me stop there for a minute and say, I know there are lots of programs that begin with the sound, and then they give the letter name at the end. And there's actually a lot of research now that says that would be preferable, that it's easier for the students to begin learning to read quickly when they give them the sound first and then the letter. All right, so, but I think by the end of kindergarten, they're going to know both. All right, in kindergarten at Rockbridge, the students learn their sounds through the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write program. They sing a song called the A to Z phonics song. While the teacher or the student of the day points to the card, the students sing the song, apple, ba-ba-ba-ba-ball. You'll see a video of this in a little bit. And this, in this way, the students learn their consonant sounds and their short vowel sounds. And next, the students begin to learn the special sounds. That would be your consonant blends, your long vowels, your digraphs, and your diphthongs. They again use the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write songs. One of them is called the Ferris Wheel Song. It's used to teach the blending of consonants with short vowels. The Ferris wheel is a wonderful tool. It's really just a poster, but the kids get all excited. On the carts are the short vowels, so there's five carts. There's A, E, I, O, U. The students get a ticket to ride the Ferris wheel, and it's a consonant letter. And they come up to the Ferris wheel, and they blend the consonant with the vowel, and they get to ride the Ferris wheel by moving their hand around. And there are multiple other Sing, Spell, Read, and Write songs that the kindergartners use. There's a song for long vowels, When Two Vowels Get Together, a silent E song. Of course, learning their phonics to song fits the developmental stage of kindergartners, and it fits the classical methodology. They do not forget what they have learned in a song. Now, some programs lack the opportunity to practice these newly learned skills, and this results in poor understanding. At Rockbridge, kindergartners practice their phonics through dictation, race reading, seat work, and word lists. So let's talk for a moment about dictation. You see, students need to apply what they have learned in written form. This is one of the seven laws of teaching. The student must reproduce what is learned in his own mind. That's one of the seven laws. And that's exactly what happens with dictation. They begin to write the sounds they hear. Dictation begins within the first week of kindergarten. The teacher says, write the letter that makes the sound T. And the students write the letter T. By the end of the fourth week, students are able to write the word sat. When the students complete a dictation exercise, this is truly a multisensory approach. They hear the teacher say the spoken word out loud. They see the cards at the front of the room. They repeat the word back to their teacher, and they're writing the word. And thus, all the senses are working together, and the child learns to string letters together to make words. Dictation is a daily exercise in kindergarten, first, and second grade. And I have included in your packet directions on how to do dictation. I would ask, though, that you take a look at that later. If you have any questions about it, let me know. In the fall of kindergarten, for dictation, students are writing an entire sentence. They're writing the sentence, "The red hen met Ben." You can hear the emphasis on the short E sound in that sentence. They're writing it with proper capitalization and punctuation. And then at the end of the year, students can write in kindergarten a sentence like this one. "Much black smoke came from the fast train." Writing a sentence is proof that they understand what has been instructed. And all kindergarten students can write these sentences. Dictation is worth 75% of the reading report card grade. The other 25% is made up of race reading, we're going to talk about that, and seat work. Race reading helps to build fluency. When you're teaching a child to learn to read, there are two aspects of reading, of oral reading. You want them to read precisely, and you want them to be fluent. Reading precisely means not skipping words, not inserting words, they're reading exactly what's on the page. And fluency is really getting the child to read in such a way that it sounds like they're talking, right? So this race reading actually helps build fluency even in kindergarten. A parent volunteer pulls a child to the hall or to the side of the classroom. They set a timer to see how many words the student can read in a minute. The goal is 35 words in a minute. Some students are able to read up to 70 words in a minute. And these words are taken out of the Victory Drill book because this book has lists of words. They have lists of short E words, short A words, long A words using A blank E or EE together. So, but I also have a little video to show you about that soon as well. Actually, here it is now. This is a video of the kindergarten reading class at Rockbridge. And I think you'll enjoy our student of the week is a little vertically challenged. It's really cute to watch him. So take a look at this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
When we learn these sounds, you'll see. Ready to read, then we will be. Apple, football. Cat and dog. Red, egg, and fan. Good, goat, and hug, hug, hand.
Next, eyes up front.
Inch, work.
So we're going to start right here, and we're going to go straight down, and then we're going to come up here and go down. All right, ready? On your mark, get set, go.
Slip, hit, rip, hit, rip, jump, rip, rib, miss, win, rip, bib, knit, nip, sip, tim.
Okay, we'll go ahead and stop there. One thing that I want to mention as I'm watching the video, I want to encourage you as teachers to get your students up, moving around. I hope you saw that they had hand motions to go with the Ferris wheel song. Please don't have them sit still at 5 years old. They really need to be up, moving. The more hand motions you can make for songs and chants, the better, all right? Especially for the young ones. I'll take all the questions at the end if that's okay. Thank you so much. All right, first grade foundations. Let's talk about first grade. By first grade, students can identify the names of all 26 capital and lowercase letters and have been introduced to and extensively practiced 74 phonemic spellings, and they learned all 74 of those in kindergarten. And believe it or not, the first grade teachers review every one of those, and then they add on 53 more. The phonics cards. Would you take a look in your packet now and... let's take a look at the phonics cards. They're on page 4. They look like this. So you have a copy of this. And in this picture up front, you can see that the phonics cards are outlined in blue. They're in a prominent place in the classroom. If you have phonics cards, I would encourage you not to laminate them because they get a glare and the students cannot see them. But they're in a prominent place so the students can see them all day, every day. By the end of January in first grade, the students have been through each of these phonics cards and they begin their literature unit. But phonics is not over. Phonics is deliberately integrated into the first grade literature program so that the phonics cards are actually taught twice throughout the first grade year. The students review all these sounds and spellings every day with phonics card recitation and dictation, and you're going to see that in a minute, what phonics card recitation looks like. So here's the long E card. During phonics card recitation, the teacher or the student of the day would say sound, and do you all know what this sound says? Oh, I'm so pleased. Spellings, that we would say, the students would say E mark, E, E blank E, E A, blank Y, blank I, E blank. So the students are saying the sound and all the spellings out loud every day for all the phonics cards that they've been through. And we would spend an entire week studying the long E spellings, the sound and the spellings through dictation exercises, through stories, word lists, and blending. But I want you to understand that we really stress this is the sound E, and this is all the ways to spell that sound. We want to say that over and over so that it finally clicks with our students, their understanding. So let's talk about blending. This is really the Orton-Gillingham approach, and it's done on the board. For example, let's say that our class this week was focused on the TH sound. I might do a blending word like this. I would write the letter P on the board, and I would say class sound. Good. And then I'd write the A and say class sound. Good. Blend. Good. And then I'd write the TH together and say sound, blend. Oh, you all know this already. And then also, besides doing the blending up on the board, we would also have word lists and stories. So let's take a look at this word list. Students are given the worksheet with multiple words that use the phonemic spelling, and each student reads a word. Now, that doesn't mean that all the other students get to check out. That student, let's call her Petunia, would say, underline the TH and the word is this. And all the other students would be underlining just the TH and looking at the word this. Remember, it's our job to try to launch that word into their long-term memory bank. At some point, you and I don't use phonics all that much anymore, do we? Right? We memorize that word, and that's what we want to do for our students. That's going to lead to fluency. So you want every student in your class to be looking at that word while Petunia says that word. And then after Petunia's word, then it's Rose's turn, and she would say, underline the TH, and the word is thing. And hold them accountable to that. Keep them with the person, all right? Make sure that you're saying, oh, Petunia, can you please do that again? Because JoJo wasn't quite with us. Let's try that again. And have him come back and be right with the class. The same for the sentences. Each student in the class has a sentence to read. And while they're reading the sentence, the rest of the class is underlining the words. So Petunia's reading, this is the day that God has made. And make it fun. Say to your class, I'm looking for the student who's right with Petunia the whole time, is underlining the exact word Petunia is saying. All right? Hold them all accountable to that. And then there's also stories. You might be able to see, I know this is fine print for those of you sitting in the back especially, but you can see the focus for this story is the QU sound. And so then we start to read stories together, all right? Our reading program is very systematic so that if the students have mastered what you've taught in week one, they can read everything that you give them in week two. The whole system builds upon itself. It really is quite wonderful. So that when we get to January and we're reading books, they have all the tools in their tool belt, really, to read all those books. Of course, there are your rule breakers, but hopefully you're introducing those up on the board, and so you are creating success for your students, all right? So here's a story, and let's talk about first grade dictation. First grade dictation is a little different in that the students are able to ask questions. For example, this is Lucy's paper, and Lucy would be able to ask me. She would say, Mrs. Velp, in the word teeth, is the E sound spelled? And she would look up at that E card on the board, and I would have my laser pointer out, and it doesn't really, oh, it does show up, look at that. I would point to it as Lucy is saying, in the word teeth, is the E sound spelled E mark, E, E blank E, E A, blank Y, or blank I, E blank? And I would say, great question, Lucy. In the word teeth, the E sound is spelled E, E. And then everybody writes that down as we're doing dictation. Lucy is not allowed to ask the question like this. Mrs. Velp, how do you spell the E sound in teeth? She must recite the card. Again, what are we doing? We're trying to launch it into their long-term memory. This is all the ways to spell E. And so it's really helping Lucy to ask the question, but everybody else is hearing all those spellings as well. All right, so you can see that there is a lot of review. This is another of Gregory's seven laws of teaching. Every thoughtful application includes a useful and effective review. Review is really the finishing and fastening process. It's just teaching the material, the knowledge that's been communicated. Review is essential. So after 4 months of this systematic phonics instruction, first graders are ready to begin reading good literature, books that reflect goodness, truth, and beauty. This is where we integrate those branches, those 10 essential reading elements. All those objectives now come into play with the literature unit. Again, this is not a random choosing of objectives, but carefully and systematically introduced at specific grade levels. So two essential elements that are particularly focused upon in first grade are oral reading and comprehension. So I began talking to you a little bit about oral reading already. You want to train your students, help them to understand. When you leave first grade, I want you to read precisely. And we had a fun saying in our class. We said, be meticulous. And everybody knew. And so they're taught to read those words precisely, carefully, not just look at the first couple letters and guess at the rest of the word. I want to encourage you, when your students make a mistake, just stop them and say, oh, JoJo, let's try that again. I want you to be meticulous. If you hold them accountable to this, they will reach that bar. They will strive to reach that bar. But if you let them keep going and make mistakes over and over, they're not going to become precise readers. So hold them accountable to that in a kind and gentle way, of course. And then reading with fluency. That, again, is telling them, when you read, I want it to sound like you're talking to me. All right, and the fun saying we had with that is we had them put their hand up and we say, we want you to be smooth and have them move their shoulders, right? You want to make this fun, all right? So you could say, JoJo, try that sentence again. I want you to be smooth, okay? All right, there's also some games. We started in first grade. We play the meticulous game. We have a cup with a popsicle stick, and on the popsicle sticks are all the students' names. And we frequently use this, so you can pull out the popsicle stick. It ensures that you've called on everyone, or they know that their popsicle stick is in there somewhere. You might call on them next. They're not quite ready, right? Which is great, because they have to stay with you in the text. So you can play the meticulous game, and if they read a page meticulously, their popsicle stick goes in one pile on your podium. And at the end, you have them stand and have the class congratulate them, say, good job, they won the meticulous game. You can also play the smooth game, but I would hesitate to use that maybe at the end of first grade or more at the end of second grade, because fluency is a little bit harder to master, all right? But you really do, it really does motivate the students to desire to read precisely or to read fluently. Okay. Also, teacher modeling can be used to train them to listen for their own fluency. For example, I might read a sentence like this one. One day, little Sal went with her mother to pick blueberries. Give me a thumbs up if that sentence was smooth. And of course, they all give you the thumbs down. That was terrible. Mrs. Felt, that was terrible. And then model for them what it's supposed to sound like. One day, little Sal went with her mother to pick blueberries. Of course, they love to point out your errors, right? Mrs. Velp, may I point out what I believe to be is an error, right? Train them in how to say that respectfully, all right? That's our saying we say. May I point out what I believe to be is an error, all right? Okay, let's talk about oral reading assessments. You have this in your packet as well. The paper that you're looking at in your packet is actually the teacher copy. This is our grading sheet. The text that the students would read, the helpful mule here, is actually a much larger print in front of them. They don't have the rest of this. All right? First grade oral reading assessments can be done with about 75 to 125 word selections. And during an independent work time, while the rest of the class is working, you pull one student to the side of the classroom far enough away that the rest of the class cannot hear that student reading. But this evaluation is necessary for the gradebook. This is very important. You may have students that are doing very well with seat work, vocabulary, dictation, but they might be struggling with the independence of oral reading. Their fluency or their precision might not be up to par. You might even have a student that's an excellent reader, a very strong reader, but they're continuing to skip words and thus losing meaning. The oral reading assessment gives the teacher and the parent a true reflection of their reading ability. And it also helps you to identify specific errors so that you can help to correct them. So it's really important that the oral reading assessment take up a large portion of the reading report card grade. Otherwise, there's no indication that there might be a problem. At Rockbridge in first grade, oral reading assessments make up 50% of the reading report card grade. So let's talk about comprehension next. There are two ways in which we assess comprehension. We need to make sure that our students are understanding what they read. And so students are asked oral questions while they're reading the passage and after they're reading the passage. But sometimes we play the skim and scan game. We always want them to look for the answers back in the text. And so in first grade, we teach them to hold the book with one hand and they put their finger up. If they're right-handed, their right hand should be up. They're ready to skim and scan the text with their right finger. If they're left-handed, it would be the opposite. And you actually have to teach them this, to hold the book. Otherwise, the book's closed and everything. And so then you ask your question. On page 53, what does Frog want to make? Skim and scan. And all the students get into their book, and they search through the text, and they find it. And hopefully you, as the teacher, are walking around the classroom. Please don't hold still in your classrooms. It's really important to be traveling up and down the aisles, unless you have a very small classroom and you can see right away, okay, they've all got it, all right? Make sure, do not have anybody answer that question until everyone has found the answer. You want everyone to be working hard, all right? And so then you'll have a student raise their hand, and they give you the answer in a complete sentence. Frog wants to make a garden. Remember, we are training leaders for Christ, and they work hard, and they are not lazy. All students should be engaged in finding the answer, not just one. They should all be pointing to the answer in the text before that one student is able to give the answer. Students in first grade also begin with written comprehension questions. These questions should be literal in nature. They're in first grade. So these would be your who, what, where, when questions. They're really not ready to answer the why questions in written form. You can ask them the why questions, but just in an oral discussion format. Okay? So they're first taught to rephrase the question. They cross out the question words. We teach them this little phrase. We use as many words from the question as possible. We say that a lot. Use as many words from the question as possible. So they cross out the question word, and then they're taught, where will the answer sound best? Well, for number three, you can see the answer will sound the best at the beginning. But for numbers one and two, the answer sounds the best at the end. This is Bobby's paper. He's put a capital T here over the word the, because that's where he's going to start his sentence. He's going to write, you can tell, he's going to write, the title of this story is, he's crossed out the question mark. He has a double underline because he knows to underline titles. And there's periods at the end. He is ready to go for number one. And the same with number two. Little Bear, he's moved the word was over, was making, and here's his answer, and he's even got the period here. Number three, his answer will come first. Blank comes to the party first. And hopefully he's going to use the bottom of that question mark for his period. We actually, in first grade, give them a grade just on the rephrase. So we would count up every single mark that they need to make on this paper. It's taught very systematically and orderly, and they get a point for each of those. When they are doing a great job rephrasing, well, then they go on to write the actual answers to those comprehension questions. You can see he's written it in a complete sentence. The title of this story is Birthday Soup. It's a little hard to see, but he actually does have the underline here. And so I want you to notice that he's received 10 points for each of these. That's for the content. So he has a 30 out of 30 for content on this set of comprehension questions. And then this is the spelling and mechanics grade, which is 10% of the total. So this is actually 3.0. The spelling and mechanics grade includes capitalization, punctuation, includes handwriting, a proper spacing, and setup of the paper. We grade every single letter for handwriting. If they've misformed a letter, it's -0.1 off the top. We want our students to pay attention to the details. And that is reflected, that spelling and mechanics grade is actually reflected in the spelling portion of the report card grade. Please don't settle for only using fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks has its place, but we need to be teaching our students how to write well. Our hope is that they will be standing before kings someday, right? So please don't settle for just fill in the blanks. Writing these answers is important. And so just like with the kindergarten clip, I have a first grade video that will summarize some of what I've been saying about first grade as well.
Explain.
ready, boys and girls? Let's do some blending. Here we go. Sound.
B.
Sound.
Boy.
Blend.
Boy.
Good job. Sound. Sound.
And.
Blend.
Sound.
Sound. Blend.
Phonics continues in second grade. The second graders review all the kindergarten and first grade phonemic sounds, and they add on six more. They again focus on a particular phonic sound or spelling for the week. They have daily phonics card recitations, daily dictations, just like in kindergarten and first grade. The weekly spelling test reflects the phonic sound and spelling tested for the week. And all formal phonics instruction is done during the spelling portion of the day, So reading is just for literature. Phonics instruction and dictation takes place during the spelling portion when they're also reviewing those spelling words, again, that reflect the phonics card that they're studying. There's also a weekly phonics assessment, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, dictation in second grade is actually ramped up a little bit. The goal in second grade is to understand when and why certain spellings are used. For example, in the word eternal. The long E sound in eternal comes at the beginning of the word. And thus, on the phonics card, the initial spelling is actually at the top of the card. The medial spellings, the spellings that come in the middle of words, are usually, not always, but usually in the middle of the card. And then the spellings that come at the end of words are usually at the bottom. So if Lucy were going to ask me a question again about the word sheep in second grade, she would ask the question a little differently. She would say, Mrs. Velp, in the word, do you notice I keep using my name? We try to do that as a sign of respect for teachers. So I would encourage you to do that as well. Have them say your name first. But she would say, Mrs. Velp, in the word sheep, is the E sound spelled E-E, E-blank E, or E-A? Notice she left off the initial and the ending spellings. All right? Second graders are asked to memorize all the phonemic spellings by the end of the year. So every Friday, we give them a phonics test. The very first Friday in second grade, they would take this test, and only week one would appear on the worksheet. That week, they studied their short vowels. So they actually turn their desks around so they can't see the phonics cards up on the wall. And they would write in A curve, E curve, I curve, O curve, U curve. And then the next Friday, week two, they would write in all the long E spellings because that's what they were studying for the week. But not only the week two spellings, they also are held accountable for what they learned the week before. So that by the end of second grade, they're actually writing all 76 phonemic spellings. They know them all by heart. The literature unit begins on day one of second grade. And this is where numbers 3 through 10 of those 10 essential reading elements and all those objectives come into play. If you would, please take a look now in your packet at a typical reading lesson plan in second grade. I want you to note first the template that we use. This template for a lesson plan has already written Gregory's 7 laws. If you look closely, let's see if I have it on here. Yeah. If you look up here at the top, the teacher knows the truth or the lesson. That's one of Gregory's 7 laws. Here's another one. The learner attends with interest. The unknown is explained by means of the known. The language used as a medium must be common to both, and the student is a discoverer. All right? Those are some of Gregory's 7 laws, and there's more on the next page as well. If you use this template to write your lesson plans, it will ensure that you're using Gregory's 7 laws. It will be a beautiful lesson. All right? You can also notice on here those 10 essential elements that we discussed before. Here we're going to make sure the students understand that the book is fiction. That would fall under the literary types and forms branch of those essential elements. You can see vocabulary here. There's several compound words. We have bearskin and smokehouse. So there we're talking about the structural analysis objectives. We also have the title, the author, the illustrator. Here's fiction and nonfiction again. The dedication page. These would fall under the branch that's called study skills objectives. And some more down here, there's questions about did this story take place in the past? Looking at this picture, we can tell that this story takes place in the past. So we're identifying it as historical fiction. Biggest Bear, yes, historical fiction, kind of. It takes place in the past. All right. So the 10 essential elements, all the second grade objectives, are covered specifically throughout the daily lesson plans. Now, this lesson plan doesn't have it, but we also would do oral reading assessments, just like we had done in first grade. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to share with you about this. On the second page of the reading lesson plan, on page 4, you'll notice one of the discussion questions asks, is Johnny coveting? What is coveting? What does God's word say about coveting? We want to make sure as we're reading, the biblical worldview is revealed. All right, and in second grade, written comprehension questions look very similar to the first grade questions that I showed you, but obviously they would be at a second grade level. Some of these questions can be inferential in nature. We can start to go there, not too heavily. It requires a little bit more higher level thinking, and the students may need to use several events in the story to come up with their answer. All right, and then finally, I would encourage you to make it fun. We want our students to love to read. And so try adding one fun, extra special prop or activity or extra special touch to each of your literature stories or even to your phonics sounds that you're teaching. Here's a couple of examples. Remember we were talking about the Ferris wheel song. Well, this is quite a celebration because once our students can read their short vowels, they can read words. And so we celebrate and we make it the carnival week. We're riding the Ferris wheel already, right? And so we have a clown come in, they have their faces painted, and they have balloons and make it very exciting. Also, for tea week in kindergarten, they have a teddy bear tea party. Not only do they learn the t sound, but they're also learning manners and etiquette. During L week, they actually have a luau, and someone comes in and teaches them the hula dance, and it's really quite fun. Kindergarten is a blast. Daily snacks are coordinated with the phonics sound of the week. During C week, they actually look at Mary Cassatt's illustrations or her paintings, and then they have show and tell. If they are the student of the day, they get to bring in an item that starts with that particular letter. Actually, I was very excited. I got to be the show and tell for somebody during V week. Mrs. Velp, the new vice principal. It was very fun. In first grade, students bring in stuffed bears when they're reading Little Bear. They memorize and recite poems for the spring poetry recital. They make frog and toad paper bag puppets and act out the story. And during Blueberries for Sal, they enjoy a blueberry snack. When they're reading Stone Soup, our first graders put on a play for parents and grandparents. And in second grade, when reading Miss Nelson is Missing, they have a visit from Miss Viola Swamp. They also have dictionary races where they race each other to see who can find the word first. I would encourage you to tell them if the page rips, they automatically lose the game. Learn from my experience. And then while reading Little House in the Big Woods, parents have brought in Johnny Cake for the students to taste. And then while reading Biggest Bear, students have been known to go on a bear hunt, using their newly learned map skills to find bears. While reading A New Coat for Anna, we have teachers bring in a loom and some sheep's wool, and they demonstrate the process of making a coat. And then I would encourage you also to set up author displays. While reading Rosie's Walk, we set up other books by Pat Hutchins, like 10 Red Apples or Arnold Lobel books. While we're reading Frog and Toad, we set up Owl at Home and Mouse Tales. And then encourage them, did you really like this book? Go to the library, check out some other books by this author. But teaching children to read is really quite humbling. We have a higher goal and a richer vision for our students. We desire for this generation and the generations to come to become wise and able to discern various worldviews. We want them to recognize false philosophies and become godly leaders in this culture who will instruct the future generations. And therefore, we must teach our students, teach them to read words, to love words, and most of all, to read and love God's word. And who is God's word? Jesus himself. I want to thank you so much for your time. We have a little bit of time left. If you have any questions, I can take them now. Yes. At Rockbridge, we use the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write in kindergarten. You may have heard it a little bit when we recite our phonics cards. We still kind of sing the short vowel Ferris wheel song. But that's really all. No, we don't. We only use the songs. Yes. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Okay, so in first grade, when we do the oral reading assessment, we have created those so they can be successful. So you may have seen in some of the video, there were the rule breaker words up on the board. Some of those they can actually sound out, but they hadn't gotten to that phonics sound yet. And so we teach them that word so that they're successful and they start to memorize it as they're reading the story. So in first grade, a lot of our oral reading assessments are self-generated. Actually, all of them are. We've created those. In second grade, we actually take portions of their literature. So we will photocopy a page for them to read, and we actually grade them right on the book that they're actually reading, but they haven't gotten to that section yet. Did that answer your question? Yes. No. We use portions just of the blending. And again, we're using the idea. We are creating our own words to blend. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the back. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. I don't see why not. I don't think I would send you the whole thing because I think it would be difficult. Just come see me and tell me which one you'd like. Yes. So as far as reading homework is concerned, if we have a student that's struggling, we will sometimes give them a little 15 minutes to practice their rule breaker words, to practice out of their phonics binder. For homework in first grade, I believe the maximum amount of time is 15 minutes. And so on their homework sheet, when you turn it over, they do have words, sentences, and sometimes a little story to practice. Mm-hmm. Not writing. We have found when we send home anything, well, not anything, most things to do at home, the handwriting doesn't come back quite as we would like. That's just been our experience. But sometimes they do. In kindergarten, as a history project, they do. They draw a picture of their house, and they write their address. So that might be it. All handwriting instruction is done in the classroom. Yes?
So you don't have any separate spelling curriculum or any separate writing curriculum?
We do, yes. Okay. Yes. So our spelling words all correlate with the phonics sound of the week. In first grade, we have 10 words per week. In second grade, it's 20 words. And then it does, yes. And then as far as writing is concerned, in second grade, they actually begin writing friendly letters. They learn the parts of the friendly letter. They write friendly letters. And they're also taught about a three-point paragraph. And they learn about topic sentences, supporting sentences, concluding sentences. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The block.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, let me address the phonics cards first. They're only reciting the cards they've learned. So at the beginning, it's going pretty quickly. But even once they learn how to recite those cards, hold them accountable to this, because you know, if you've been teaching for any amount of time, they can drag this out, right? And let them know, oh, no, that's not how we recite our phonics cards. We recite them like this. I want to hear staccato. So really 5 minutes at the most. They should be able to go through all of those cards, but hold them accountable and just say, oh, that was terrible. You know, hopefully they love you and want to please you, right? So let them know, show them. It should sound like this. Spellings, you know, quickly. Let's get this done. We've got other things to do today. All right. Any other questions? Yes. So we do Shirley Grammar. Do you know about the Shirley Grammar program? Okay. So that's a today my talk was really about, I didn't answer your other question as well. Right, so our reading is from, in first grade, it's about an hour and 45 minutes. We spend quite a bit of time on reading. And then another portion of our day, we do Shirley Grammar for a half an hour twice a week. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, so there's lots of different programs with lots of different cards. Mm-hmm. Right, so that the one that you have there is our first grade phonics card. And there's, remember how I said we add on this many more? This would be in the second grade. You can purchase our phonics cards at the Rockbridge Academy table.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In that book, that Victory Book Control book,
yes.
Is that just a K?
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Is spelling part of your reading time?
No, spelling is also done twice. Well, I shouldn't say that. We actually do a little bit of spelling every day because they have morning work where they're copying their words. And then we also have a set apart spelling time twice a week, 30 minutes. But with we also in first grade do a dictionary, a spelling dictionary, where they actually have to put their spelling words into a little book in alphabetical order. So it ends up having spelling every day when we do that because the spelling test is on Friday. All right, any other questions? Okay, thank you so much for coming. If you have any other questions, I can meet you there. Thank you.